No, that's not the reason why. Thank you, Krista. I want to talk to you today about essential ingredients and active ingredients, and relate that to the church and to the Holy Spirit. But I want to give you three examples up here. First example is this wonderful apple pie. My wife didn't bake it. She's still down with Ashley in North Carolina, Ashley and Jesse. But I had a Stop and Shop bake it for me. Took a piece last night. What's the best way to eat apple pie? Huh? Warm it. Put some ice cream on it. So last night I warmed up a piece, put the ice cream, let it melt a little, and then ate it. Okay? Now, what you can see is this is an apple pie, right? Why do we call this an apple pie? Okay, because there are apples in it, okay? Now, did you know that from 1934 until 1993, on the back of each, they took it off after 1993, on the back of each Ritz cracker box, do you know what was there? A recipe to what? To make apple pie with Ritz crackers, okay? It took 36 crackers. You get the pie crust. You stack the 36 crackers in there. You put the cinnamon. You put the other cream of tartar. What's the tartar thing or whatever? You put that. You wouldn't want to eat my pie, believe me. You put that in there, and you bake it. Now, you tell me, is that the real pie or is that the Ritz cracker pie? You can't tell the difference, can you? But you know what they call that? They call it mock apple pie. That's the Ritz cracker pie. Okay, how many of you are going to go home and try this recipe? Look it up. It's still online. Yeah, okay. Okay. So, now, I don't know why. Why would you make an apple pie with what? Without apples. Well, I did read that part. It came out in 1934 because it was around the time of the Depression, and a lot of people couldn't get their hands on fresh fruits and vegetables. And so you can make apple pie with Ritz crackers. Now, you people from that era, if you can't buy apples, how can you buy Ritz crackers? Were they that much cheaper? Thank you, Joan. Thank you. Now, this is called apple pie because it has apples. The essential ingredient in apple pie is not the cinnamon. The essential ingredient is not the cream of tartar. The essential ingredient is apples. Do you know what they actually call this one? Mock apple pie. Because why? It looks about the same. It tastes a little bit the same, but it's not. Okay. I wish I could go back down to Arkansas and bring back some. I spent about 10, 12 years in Arkansas. I will say this about the South. Those people know how to do barbecue and brisket. This is barbecue. This is beef barbecue. But there's a problem. What's the problem with this one? There's no barbecue sauce. If you're going to call something beef barbecue, it needs what? Barbecue. Okay? So I do have some barbecue. There. Now we have beef barbecue, right? There's beef. There's barbecue. What's the, do we have beef barbecue here? No. Why? The essential ingredient, if you're going to make barbecue, it needs to be marinated in the essential ingredient. This is like trying to make up for what you forgot. Okay? Now, in your medications, on the back, there is a thing called the active ingredient. Do you know what that is? That's the thing that you really need to take it for. I have here something for a headache and something for bad breath. The thing is, they actually look a little bit alike. So I'm going to go over to Willie here. Willie has a pounding headache. And Willie, I want you to pick out the right one. Go ahead, Willie. Okay, no, don't.
This looks like the headache one. Am I right?
All right. Yeah, you got it. All right. In your medications, you will have lots of other things. They're called fillers, or they're called expanders, or they're what it's enclosed in. In medical studies, actually, they will have people who are taking the medication that has the active ingredient, and they will have people taking what? The sugar pill, a Tic Tac, a placebo. The essential ingredient for the believer and for this church, the active ingredient for a believer and this church is the Holy Spirit. Can I have the pie back up? You can have something that looks good, but it has no substance. You can give, I could take five of these and have great breath and still have my headache. You know why? It has no active ingredient. And my question is, what makes the difference when the essential ingredient is there, when the active ingredient is there, and why isn't it enough for something to look good, maybe taste even similar, but it's not the same? I want to take you very quickly kind of a survey of saying that the Holy Spirit has always been the active essential ingredient throughout the Bible. A lot of times we think in the Old Testament, you know, we know that the Holy Spirit was active in the New Testament, but we don't necessarily think of the Holy Spirit when we think of the Old Testament. That should not be the case. Now, the relationship and how the Holy Spirit works was different in the Old Testament from the New Testament, but his presence was just as present in the Old Testament. Let me give you some examples. Joshua, as he's about to become the head of Israel, Moses goes to Joshua, and God says, I want you to lay your hands on Joshua. I want you to give him your authority, and I want the Holy Spirit. He doesn't use the word holy there, but I want you to give him the Spirit so that he is able to lead the people. Joshua was able to lead because the Spirit of God was on him, giving him direction to give to the people. David, do you realize it says when Samuel anointed David, from that day on, the Spirit of God rested on David. David was the king he was, not because he was handsome, not because he was the youngest. He was the king he was because the Spirit of God rested on him. Daniel. Pagan kings looked at Daniel. Artaxerxes looked at him. Darius looked at him. Nebuchadnezzar looked at him. And they recognized something in Daniel, and they said, on him rests the Spirit of God. Now, they didn't know who God was, but they knew it wasn't their gods. What did they see? They saw not a mock. They saw the real thing. You see, what they worshipped was just a made-up one. What he worshipped was the real God. And in Daniel, they saw the difference. Joseph, same thing. Jesus. It's foretold in the Old Testament that the Holy Spirit would rest on Jesus. In the book of Isaiah, three different times it talks about the Holy Spirit resting on Jesus and that his ministry would be full of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah chapter 11, Isaiah chapter 42, Isaiah chapter 61. I want to turn to the Isaiah 61 just for a second. You can look the other ones up later. Here's Jesus. His ministry comes because the power of the Spirit. Now, he's God himself, but he humbled himself, and he gave over even all his powers, and the Holy Spirit was there giving him his power. Now, sometimes he would use his own power. Sometimes it was the power of the Holy Spirit. But here, listen to Isaiah three different times says that the Holy Spirit will rest on Jesus. Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God." That very passage is quoted by Jesus as he goes to his own hometown and speaks in the synagogue. Now, if Jesus had the Holy Spirit on him during his ministry, David, all these other people, what does that say about us? The book of Acts is full of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, "Wait from power from on high." Wait until you have the essential ingredient, because the power and the authority of the gospel and the word of God matched with the power of the Holy Spirit was going to turn the world upside down. When we read the book of Acts, we see the power of the Holy Spirit. We see the active ingredient of the Holy Spirit transforming people's lives and changing people through his power. He gives them the boldness to witness. Do you have the Holy Spirit? If the Holy Spirit lives in you, he wants to be witnessing now. When we read the book of Acts, and they would pray and the Holy Spirit would fill them, it says, "And then they went out and they witnessed boldly." If you have the Holy Spirit, he is not the one who is holding us back. The boldness is in him, and he is in us. The Holy Spirit is not the one who says, "Oh, I don't know what they're going to think of me." He's like, "What does it matter? They're going to be in hell. You need to give them the gospel." The power of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, when they were full of the Holy Spirit, they went and they witnessed boldly. Are you full of the Holy Spirit? Do you desire? Do you look for opportunities to witness boldly? If the essential ingredient is there, the outcome should be the same, should it not? They also, when the Holy Spirit was there in the book of Acts, they dedicated themselves to knowing and obeying the word of God. They were not afraid of any opposition or persecution. They would not cut back any of their speech because of the threats that were around them. The Holy Spirit was used to call people into dedicated service. They were there. The Holy Spirit caused them to love each other sacrificially. It affected how they treated each other throughout the week. It wasn't just a matter of like, "Great to see you on Sunday. Glad I don't have to see you the rest of the week." They were a part of each other's lives. They gave up their houses for each other. The Holy Spirit moved their hearts to do these things. He convicted unsaved people's hearts for salvation. The Holy Spirit would give them specific direction. And indeed, we see the witness of the Holy Spirit was the very power through which the apostles were able to go and plant churches throughout the whole of Asia Minor and into Europe and even into Britain itself. Is that day over now? Did the Holy Spirit somehow, like, "Okay, that was great. We wrote the book of Acts. It's now a record. You people, you don't have to witness. You don't have to be bold. You don't need direction in your lives. You're the smart people. You know, you've got life figured out. You really don't need the Holy Spirit. You just need a little direction here and there. The book of Acts did not finish. It is an ongoing account. And it should be here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is new birth. John chapter 3, John chapter 6. Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born of water and of the Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 6, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. If you are a believer, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and he has brought to you new life. You should not be living as an unsaved person. You should not have the same values as an unsaved person. But they do studies, and they find that within the church, the morality that people ascribe to is much the same as in the outside world. It should not be that way. The essential ingredient of the Holy Spirit, when he is present, he causes us to have new moralities. He causes us to have a different life because it is his life that now lives in us. The essential, the active ingredient of the Holy Spirit should not only give us the true knowledge of God, but a desire to know more about God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the unsaved man will not understand the things of God, but the saved man understands them because they are spiritually understood. Paul prays for them in Ephesians 1 and in Ephesians 3, he says, I pray that the Spirit would make known to you the riches of God. I pray that he would build you up in the inner man. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to read your Bible? Is there something in you that you want to open that Bible? If there's not, I'm just wondering. Do you have Ritz crackers instead of like real apple pie? Is the Holy Spirit in you? The Holy Spirit wants you to open that book. Because as you open it, he helps you to understand it. And not only that, once you understand it, he helps you make the changes in your life and in my thinking that he has made clear to me. So what do we have Ritz crackers or do we have the real thing? You follow me? If the Holy Spirit is the essential ingredient, if he is the active ingredient within the believer, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. Are you experiencing freedom in your life? It says where the Spirit of God is. That's part of the testimony of Romans chapter 8. That whole thing of living a new life. It's interesting that Romans 8 follows Romans 7 because Romans 7 says, I don't know how in the world I'm going to get rid of sin. Romans 8 opens by saying, here's the way, the Holy Spirit, the active ingredient of the Holy Spirit. It says, where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. Are you experiencing freedom in your life? Is there freedom in your family? Or are you still enslaved to anger? Unforgiveness, pornography, impatience, drugs, alcohol, whatever you want to put in there. Are you experiencing freedom? It says where the Spirit of God is, what? There is liberty. There is freedom. If he's there, there should be freedom. If you are still enslaved, I'm not saying you're not saved, but what I'm saying is you are not allowing. You're saying, I want the Holy Spirit to be a tic-tac and not to be an actual active ingredient in my life. Ephesians 4, where the Spirit of God is, there is peace. Is there peace in your family? Is there peace in your heart? If we took a film right before you came to church, and if we took a film right after you got home, what would that look like? Could we show it on the screen? Where the Spirit, where God is dwelling, He convicts the people who are fighting with one another, whether it's church members or family members. He reminds them that he died on the cross to deal with whatever has come between them and to extend forgiveness to one another. I cannot stand how married people can call each other names. It's absolute. You know, people treat their dogs better than they do their spouse sometimes. They treat their dogs, their cats better than they treat their brothers and sisters. I had to ask a couple to leave my office because they got so mad at each other, they were swearing and calling each other's names. And I said, if you're not going to respect each other, you are going to respect the fact that I'm a pastor and this is my office. You guys can leave until you can come back and we can talk on a civil level. Where the Spirit of God is, there is peace. Is there peace in your home? Is there peace in your heart? Do you bring peace to situations or do you bring more conflict? Some of us are not satisfied unless we're stirring up a hornet's nest. I don't know. I don't know if maybe it's the adrenaline or whatever it is, but it's like where the Spirit of God is, there is peace. The person who is filled with the Spirit of God, when they walk into a situation, it may not settle right away, but they're going to be part of bringing peace. Because Jesus walked into a situation where man and God were at war, and he unilaterally, on the cross, dealt with the animosity between us and God and between races, and he is there to be the Prince of Peace. Where the Spirit of God is, Galatians 5 tells us that there should be 9 characteristics. What are they? But the fruits of the Spirit are what? Love, joy. Oh, wait, let's stop right there. How many of you are joyful people? You ever see people that walk around with those shirts that talk about grumpy? Who usually wears those shirts? The grumpy people, okay? Because they want you to laugh about how grumpy they are, okay? Maybe a t-shirt will help you actually laugh about it instead of the fact that you actually sometimes can't stand how grumpy they are. But maybe by making a joke out of it, it'll make it a little lighter, right? So you buy him the grumpy t-shirt. It's not right. Love, joy, peace, what? Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, kindness, self-control. Please note that it is not called the fruits of the Spirit as if those are an individual fruit. It is called what? The fruit of the Spirit. He comes into our life to bring all 9 of those characteristics. I don't get to choose and say, you know, and by the way, this is my problem. I'm an impatient person. I'll take 8 of the 9 and forget the patience part. The essential ingredient deals with the toxicness of my impatience. You know how I knew how impatient I was? I watched one of my kids as they were growing up, and I saw my impatience in them, and I was like, oh my goodness. I know where they got that. And I didn't like it in them. So what did it make me have to realize? They were just following in my steps. Is the essential ingredient of the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you showing forth love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, kindness, self-control? Or are you some kind of Ritz cracker? The book of Galatians emphasized over and over again. You get saved by the Spirit, you continue by the Spirit. You can't just get saved and then do it on your own. You get saved by the Holy Spirit, you walk by the Holy Spirit. The essential ingredient does not leave. And by the way, I want to go back to this illustration. You can't just splash the Holy Spirit, hope that he somehow you know, gets you up to speed. You can't just splash spirituality into your life. Come in here and splash a little of God on your life for the rest of the week. We need to be marinating in the Word of God. We need to be praying and marinating in the Word of God. The essential ingredient can't just be an add-on. It must be part of the original recipe. The world doesn't need more Tic Tacs. What the world needs is the active ingredient of the Holy Spirit. The churches in Revelation are all words of warning, but I want, and I'll be done with this. Turn to Revelation 3. Of all the ones that I read, this one scares me the most. Revelation 3. To the angel of the church of Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. You have a reputation for being an apple pie, but you're a Ritz cracker. You have a reputation for being alive, but you're dead. But what kind of death was it? Was it that they were actually dead? No. He says, wake up. If they were dead, they couldn't wake up. He's saying, you're in a stupor. It's not that there's not life in you. It's not that God hasn't given you life. It's that you spiritually have fallen asleep. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I have come. You know why he can come as a thief? Because you were asleep anyway. I was asleep anyway. But here's the word of warning as well. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. You know what he's saying? He's saying that in a church, there can be a few people who are real apple pie, and there can be a whole lot of people who are just Ritz crackers. That's scary. It's really scary. When you got saved, if you're not saved, you're a Ritz cracker anyway. And you need to get saved. But when you got saved, you have the Holy Spirit in your life. And he comes in not to be just some kind of figurehead. He comes in to be the essential ingredient of who we are and what we do. He comes in to be the active ingredient of what the world needs the most. And of all the days and times in which we live, this is what it comes down to. And I say we must make sure that the essential ingredient, the active ingredient of the Holy Spirit is governing my heart, my mind, my life, and my church. This can taste like an apple pie. It can smell. They say as you cook this. By the way, I already had somebody who told me that they're going to go try this. So next potluck, we'll have a bunch of Ritz cracker apple pie. Just so everybody can try it. This looks like the real thing. As you're cooking it, it smells like the real thing. It even tastes a little bit like the real thing. But remember, it's called this, mock apple pie, because the essential ingredient is not there. I don't want to be a mock Christian. The essential ingredient is the Holy Spirit.
God is good.
Thank you.
We're going to have to start over. My words are not here. Take away the melodies, take away the songs I sing, take away all the lies and all the songs you let me write. Does the man I am today say the words you need to say? Let them see you in me. Let them hear you when I speak. Let them feel you when I sing. Let them see you. Let them see you in me. Who am I without your grace? Another smile, another face, another breach, a grain of sand, passing quickly through your hand. I give my life an offering. Take it all, take everything. Let them see you. Let them hear you when I speak. Let them feel you when I sing. Let them see you. Let them see you in me. With every breath I breathe, I sing a little melody, but I pray they'll hear more than a song in me, in me. Thank you, Lord. Let them see you in me. Let them hear you when I speak. Let them feel you when I sing. Let them see you. Let them see you. Oh, let them see you in me. Let them hear you when I speak. Let them feel you when I sing. Let them see you. Let them see you in me. Let them see you. Isn't God amazing? Let us stand and say a final prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for being here today. We thank you for allowing us not to be a mock Christian. Now, Lord, we ask that you touch us, that you touch our hearts, you touch our minds, that as we go out of these doors today, Lord, Let us be representatives of you. Let us have the main ingredient, Lord, which is your Holy Spirit. Let us represent you at our jobs, at our schools, and in our homes. We're thankful, Lord. We are so thankful to you. And we hope to see you again soon. In your name, amen.